Good morning, and thank you very much for inviting me to this very nice conference. And I'd like to give my talk titled Some Application of Coherent X-rays from a Third Generation Synchrotron Source. Now, in my talk, this is corroborated of my work. Now, in my talk, I will start from the coherent measurement that is X-ray Humphrey-Brown twist interferometer, and also X-ray Michelson interferometer and X-ray Fourier transform spectroscopy. And I will touch a little bit about nonlinear X-ray optics done in, by using the third generation source that is parametric down conversion. And next, I will touch the X-ray mirror development using 1,000 meter beamline at the spring 8. And this beamline gives the special coherent weak hard X-rays that make the very small figure error of the mirror clearly detected. And that was applied for the flat mirror and the KB focusing. And recently, we got a sub 10 nanometer focusing by using this mirror system. And finally, I'd like to show something about the present status of Japan X-ray free electron laser project, including our activity using the prototype working on the AUV region. Let me start with this slide. And during these days, from Monday to this Thursday, we heard many things from the LCLS. And all of you can agree this statement: new lights always create new science and technology. Then the coherence is or was one of the most significant features of third generation synchrotron radiation sources. And this slide is from 2004 Japan Synchrotron Radiation Society meeting. And we are many areas of new application of new science or new technology techniques using coherent X-rays. And what astonished us at that time was the MELS CDI and also the speckles from a beryllium window. Every X-ray beam has some speckle image from the windows, monochromators, and mirrors. And this was, I was working in X-ray optics, so that these are very big program to provide beam to users. All users want to uniform beam for their experiment, and these dirty beams everyone dislike. And then so that to make the coherent related application, we need very high quality optics and brilliant X-ray sources. And we need also the measurement of coherence as well. And we have developed some interferometric technique to measure the coherence in a hard X-ray region. One is the amplitude interferometer that corresponds to the Young's double slit, and another is the Humphrey-Brown and twist type interferometer that is intensity interferometer. The merit or advantage of the intensity interferometer is optics could be unstable. For amplitude interferometry, we need very stable optics. Yeah, but for intensity interferometry, we can use unstable optics. And optics could be simple, and we can extract photon statistic information. Yeah, but instead we need very high brilliant source to make the intensity interferometry, and that need monochromatization. Okay, short history is shown here. Okay, 187 Young made the double slit, and 1953 Humphrey Brown Twist first paper. And 1974, a Russian guy proposed the synchrotron diagnostic application of the Humphrey-Brown twist interferometer. And 1992, Ikonen made the estimation for the side generation synchrotron radiation source. And 1997, Kikuta made the first hard accelerator using Tristan MR. Synchrotron radiation facility. And 1999, Miyahara made first soft X-ray data. And 2000, Gruskin et al. Published in a hard X-ray data from APS. And between 98 and 2000, we built in a coherent X-ray ops beamline S-ring 8. These are beamline 29 and beamline 19. Okay, coherent source like laser produces light shown here, whereas the incoherent source such as firework produces a chaotic source that is both spatially and temporally incoherent source, and actually the third generation synchrotron radiation is incoherent source. Because as you know well, the coherence is characterized by two parameters. One is the spatial coherence length, and the other is the temporal coherence length. And the chaotic light is like this. Yeah, but the third generation source, although the third generation source is chaotic, but the both, okay, the temporal and, yeah, mostly spatial coherence is much larger than the previous generation sources. And with a new SASI source, yeah, we have a fully spatial coherent light, but not fully temporal coherent. Okay, so the chaotic field, yeah, we can use the double slit. And from the visibility of the fringes, we can measure the spatial coherence. And yeah, sometimes temporal coherence. And this could be done by using the two very first detector with the coincidence counting rate. And this is the time resolution of the detector, and with the coincidence counting rate, we can have the same information that the visibility of fringe gives. And okay, this is the intensity interferometer. Intensity interferometry, we use a beam splitter and measure the coincidence counting rate with two detector. And when we use the chaotic light, then the mode number we are inside the beam is related to the enhancement of the coincidence rate. And the mode number is spatially mx, my, and temporary mt. And when this mode number is smaller, that means more coherent, then we have larger intensity fluctuation and a larger coincidence count rate. Yeah, actually, this is the this enhancement R is inversely proportional to the mode number. So the mode number is very large, then we cannot observe enhancement. Okay, and of course, the longitudinal mode number is related to the monochromatization. And the longitudinal mode number is given by this equation where ST is the pulse length and sigma T is the coherence length. So if we want to get the MT less than 10, we need a submarine electron board monochromatization, so that we need very high resolution monochromator. So we developed high resolution monochromator by using the perfect silicon crystal. And okay, actually this activity was done in connection to the Messbauer diffraction experiment. And okay, in 2000, at the time of 2000, we got milli-EV resolution by using the combination of perfect crystal silicon. Yeah, but our development is by using the successive asymmetric crystal, and the combination of this asymmetric four crystal combination gave submarine EV resolution X-rays at 14 kV. And this is a photograph of the setup. And the final result is the 120 micro electron volt at 14 kV. And then we also developed a long in vacuum undulator in Spring 8. Okay, we have built a 27 meter in vacuum undulator operating between 7 and 18 kV for first harmonics. And this undulator gave the 10 to 20 thirds peak brilliance. That is, of course, very lower than many, many order, lower than FEL, but the highest for the synchrotron radiation. Okay, optical setup is like this. We are using double crystal monochromator, followed by high resolution monochromator, and with slit and two aberrant photodiode detector is placed in line on beam. And this aberrant photodiode detector is transparent, and we use two APDs for the coincidence measurement. And this is a result of the coincidence enhancement, and with a horizontal slit width of 30 micron, and we can observe 0.2 enhancement of the coincidence rate. And from this, we calculate the coherence length is 66 micron at source observed point distance L is 66 meter. And by using this, we assume the Gaussian beam profile and use Fan-Sitter-Tarnik theorem, then we can estimate the vertical source size that is 13.8 micron, that is electron beam size, and the angular source size is 0.2 microradian. And okay, this is a result from our 27 meter undulator that is larger beta than our standard 4.5 meter undulator. And for our standard 4.5 meter undulators, a similar measurement was made. And we determined, we calculated the source size Sy is approximately 6 micron. This is the electron beam size and emittance coupling, that is coupling between horizontal and vertical, is 0.1%. And we changed the operation from the 6 nanometer region to 3 nanometer region and measure this enhancement. And we observed that actually 3 nanometer region, the accelerator people claim, is 3.6 nanometer region, and the coupling was 0.12%. Okay, this technique is also applicable to measure the pulse widths. Yeah, because this enhancement is related to the mode number in temporal direction. Yeah, when we use very small slit to make the spatial mode 1, mx and my equal 1, then the Rmax is written as a function of the longitudinal coherence length. And this Rmax gives the pulse width ST. Therefore, this we tuned the monochromator and changed energy resolution and made some measurement with different delta E. And with these data, we determined the ST. ST is the electron band length, to be 32.7 or 33 picosecond at spring 8. This agreed well with the strict camera measurement of 32 picosecond. Okay, the intensity correlation technique is useful for amplitude interferometers. So we can make the separated amplitude interferometer by applying the coincidence technique. Yeah, one application is the X-ray. This is the region where the interference pattern is observed. And the technique was applied to make the X-ray Michelson interferometer. And the Michelson interferometer is one version of X-ray Fourier transform spectroscopy.
What's beam energy?
Beam energy here is the
one
angstrom. Okay, also the high resolution monochromator was applied to the Fabry-Pellow interferometer in hard X-rays in collaboration with Taiwan people. And these are our activity and the coherence measurement. And I'd like to mention a little bit in X-ray nonlinear optics. And what could be done in the by using the third generation source here, the Darwin, parametric Darwin conversion. And this parametric Darwin conversion gives the second order susceptibility per meta chi 2. Okay, we divided, split the one X-ray photon into X-rays and soft X-ray photon. And soft X-ray photon is resonant in the carbon by using the diamond crystal. Yeah, by this scheme, we observed all this kind of patterns, asymmetric pattern in our profile, and these are well explained by the Fano picture. The one button is through the photonic discrete level, and the other state is through continuum, and these two states interfere to give the asymmetric profile. Yeah, but we don't know what factor determines chi 2, and this is to be answered, and maybe a good question for the next week discussion. Yeah, next is 1 kilometer beamline. This picture of the 1 kilometer beamline in 2000. And the beam size, the scale is, line is 1 centimeter, so that at 1 kilometer point, we have approximately 4 centimeter beam size from undulator. And by using this 1 kilometer beam, we made the mirror development in collaboration with Osaka University group. And at spring 8 1 kilometer beamline, we made X-ray testing in Osaka. They made machining methodology and simulation. And Osaka University has a very elegant mirror polishing technology that is called EEM, elastic emission machining. And also, they are making the gas phase machining technology of plasma CVM. And first, we started, okay, the flat mirror test and measure or observe the beam profile by using X-ray imaging tube. The sample mirror is like this, the pre-machined area or end plasma CVM processed area and plasma CVM and EEM processed area. And the left figure is a pre-machined area. It's not very good mirror, but after plasma CVM, we got a flat mirror was a 22.5 nanometer peak to vary. Yeah, but after EEM processing, we got a figure error of 2.0 nanometer peak to vary. And this mirror gave the speckles when observed in 1 kilometer beamline. The pre-machined surface is terrible, and even the CVM surface, we can observe speckles in the image. And the CVM and the EEM surface, yeah, smoother image could be observed with the Fresnel fringes in both edge. Okay, we developed the back forward and backward simulation code, and yeah, from the image was by phase retrieval, we can retrieve the surface profile. Okay, then we moved on to produce a spherical mirror that is elliptical. And then by the combination of the spherical mirrors in Kirkpatrick Bayes configuration, we could make the 200 nanometer focusing in 2002 or 3. And this is the diffraction limit focusing because of the profile near the focus. It is not the, okay, the geometrical optically focused, but the some interference focusing we observed. And very recently, okay, we made a system to compensate wavefront from the measurement of the focal point. Okay, the scattering around the focal point, we can get the mirror profile, and we use the compensator, flat compensator, and make the focal point smaller. And this technique made us to observe a 7 nanometer focal spot. Yeah, at the moment only one dimensional, but we are now designing the two-dimensional focusing system by using this technique. Okay, this is the focal spot, and these are the CDI applications. Yeah, we started with Zhou Miao from 2000, and this is the three-dimensional 3D reconstruction of human chromosome. And by the combination of Osaka focusing mirror, we made a nanocrystal 3D reconstruction with the resolution of around 10 nanometer. Okay, the final topic is our free electron laser. Okay, we are now constructing X-ray free electron laser facility, and the project range is 2006 to 2010. And we have already constructed a prototype SCSS. This machine is used by many users sitting here. And the concept is compact source with lower energy, LINAC energy, but with similar light source performance to bigger sources like LC, LS, and Tesla, FEL. And then co-locate with a third generation synchrotron radiation source. This is Spring 8, to be used synergistically. And for this, we use the shorter period in vacuum undulator to reduce LINAC energy to rates at 1 angstrom, and use high gradient accelerator tube that is C-band double of the Stanford S-band to reduce the LINAC lengths. And at the end, okay, our facility is 700 meter total length, and a $4 million United States dollar cost, and a 5-year period in total. And actually, this $4 million is a present cost, but at the time when we started the project. It was only 300 million because of the change of the exchange rate. Okay, this is a roadmap. We started 2006, and then this 2010 fiscal year is a year of the complete. And we will start machine commissioning from September, and we hope we can observe the first laser and until the end of March next year. And then we will start the user operation from the October or December next year. And our prototype SCSS, we have already started user operation. Okay, this is the construction photograph, and these are accelerator and gun, and we are using the DC gun, not RF gun. And accelerator, generators, we are ready for aging. Okay, and this is our AGB, X-ray free electron laser facility at Spring 8. And a significant feature of our facility is the XFER and synchrotron radiation X-ray beam on the same sample and short and low emittance electron beam can be injected to Spring 8 from XFER LINAC. So we can use short band beam fast 1,000 times of the at the Spring 8 beam lines. And we will change the Spring 8 lattice to enjoy the low emittance beam in the end of approximately 2020. And this is a kind of news. In July 27, we succeeded in the higher harmonic speed of SCSS at 61.5 nanometer. So that now the Spring 8 compact surface source is not compact surface source, but compact seeded source. And we are planning to use the 10 petaflops computer now developed in the Kobe Institute of Riken and connect two institutes with the high-speed network to deal with a lot of, a huge amount of data to be produced in the XFEL. Okay, come to the conclusion. And okay, the X-ray coherence is one of the significant features of the side generation SL sources, and will be similar in the coming SASI XFEL sources. And I have shown some application of coherent X-rays at Spring 8, and that is intensity interferometry, mirror development for nanometer focusing and others. And I have shown the present status of Japan X-ray free electron laser project. And we believe XFEL is another great example that the new light create new science and technology. Thank you very much for your attention.
So this possibility basically shine both synchrotron pulses and FEL pulses on a single sample, it seems pretty unique. And it means also you will have independent tunability of the two pulses. Is that
with the synchrotron pulse is 5 megahertz, and we can consider the 5 megahertz and very long pulse, 32 picosecond.
Right. So but you can tune the frequency, the photon energy of the synchrotron pulse independently, right?
Yes, of course.
You have really two independent colors.
Yeah.
What's the expected synchronization between the two pulses? Is it
going to
be on
the
time scale?
One plan is two, okay, the break the sample by XFEL and to observe the relaxation process by synchrotronization.
But what's the expected temporal synchronization, so to speak? What temporal jitter?
Okay, the actually not synchronization, but the hit by FEL, and after that, observe continuously by the synchrotron light.
And with what time resolution? What projected time resolution? Basically, how accurately will you know the time delay between the FEL pulse that hits the sample and the synchrotron pulse that throws the sample?
Okay, our timing system now is the jitter of 60 femtoseconds.
For the nano-focusing, you showed impressive results. I mean, the Nature Physics paper in one dimension, but here you showed also data of the 200 nanometer focusing that was two-dimensional. What's the intensity in that beam? That's one question. And if you reconstruct the height profile, you do assume that it's coherent. Can you show it's really fully coherent? And what was the was that at BL29?
When we use the first question is the two-dimensional focusing. Yeah, now we are using 50 nanometer, not less than 10 nanometer.
And what flux?
Flux is 10 to 9 to 10 to 10 photons per second in the 50 nanometer square region.
And is that fully coherent?
Yeah, fully coherent.
You mentioned that you achieved this seeded HHG UV laser. So are you planning to, in 2011, you are trying to get HHG XFEL? That's a plan, SASE FEL or HHG FEL next year?
For X or EUV.
Yeah, but for hard X-ray, do you think it's possible?
No. If I said yes, we don't need the XFEL. We have coherent source. Okay, we are planning to make the, to use the higher harmonics of seeded FEL are the seeder of the hard XFEL. So the system of HGHE we are considering. And also we are now working on the electron bunch squeezing, okay, the moderated electron bunch and the squeeze, compress the moderation. The two kind of seeding system we are now working.
Another short question is, you mentioned that the intensity interferometry can measure the pulse length. What's the shortest pulse length you can measure by intensity interferometry?
Okay, actually, short pulse length is easier because the mode number, the temporal coherence length can easily longer than the pulse length. Yeah, but we need many repetition for that kind of intensity interferometry. So we have some problem when we use this technique for LC-LS or our XFEL. Yeah, but the shorter pulse length is easier.
But there must be some limitation. I guess there's some one femtosecond or even a few hundred at second.
Limitation is other side, longer pulse length because of the monochromatization. To measure the longer pulse, then we need very high monochromatization. So in the present technology, it is very difficult to measure the 1 nanosecond pulse by using this technology because we need 10 to minus 10 or 10 to minus 11 delta E over E to measure the pulse.
With the new breakthrough in the mirror technology, can you speculate on how far that could be pushed? Is there some physical limit to how small you can focus the beam, or some practical limit?
Yeah, okay, my feeling, the practical limit will be 1 nanometer. It's very difficult to go below 1 nanometer.
Just a very simple question. I may have missed this, but how do you measure a 20 nanometer X-ray focus?
Okay, use some scatter by lithography technique. And okay, the scatter to the beam and measure scattering, and then move and measure. And
if I remember that right, you presented several micron coherence length from the 25 meter annulator, something like that. So also, if I remember that correctly, I think the theoretical limit for longitudinal coherence from undulator radiation is the relativistically contracted length of that annulator, meaning the n times the wavelength. So how close were you to that limit?
Actually, we use the crystal monochromator to enhance the coherent length. Okay, the
that's a trick.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I missed that. Yeah.
Okay, any other questions? Everyone's ready for coffee. Okay, let's thank the speakers again. We'll start after the coffee break at 11 o'clock.